overtime right there. I know you feel that. I like that. That's got me going on. I'll spare you. I had this one friend. I got to say this. I don't know why it just came up, but how my mind works. Just sometimes I had this friend that we would go to dances when we were in high school and stuff. Every time, like, he had, like, the only thing he could do was the worm. You remember the worm? That's where you, like, get on the floor, like, your whole body is like a worm, you know? It was not good. It was never a good thing. Grant, I'm talking about you if you're listening. I know Nathan said thank you to everybody for this stuff. I want to thank everybody again, everybody that has worked the last couple weeks. I know last couple weeks I've been talking about how God has provided to help make stuff happen. And even this week, because I want God to be glorified and I want you guys to know kind of what he's doing behind the scenes sometimes. Even this week with this project, you know, this project we had set some money aside for and everything. Now, obviously, men in our church built it, which is incredibly awesome, and God is glorified in that. And then on top of that, someone, you know, after last week's service and knowing that we were going to do this week, just said, you know what, I want to pay for it. And so this stinking thing that was like free to our church. I mean, someone just stepped up, said, I want to just cover that. And that's just God. That's just God providing. And, you know, now the money that was supposed to be for this will now get to be a part of some other type of ministry. And it's just awesome. So he gets glorified for that. Like, you know, it's kind of like Nathan said, whatever we need to do, you know, we'll do it. And, you know, like Nathan said, it might be building a barn. So, you know, in a few weeks, we might have like a barn raising. And so we may like get a crew together and like go, you know, hang out with the Amish and see how they do it. And then, you know, come back and, you know, I don't know, maybe not. So this morning, we're talking about prayer. And we are on second to last week. Next week will be the last week of our James series. This week, I think, is one of those weeks that can be very impactful. It can be one of those things that you can say, well, you know, I kind of got that down. Kind of good with prayer. Kind of know everything I think I need to know about prayer. And I ask you that you would just open your heart this morning to, you know, allowing God to speak to your heart through his word. About what prayer could be in your life, maybe that it's not right now. And so, you know, for whatever it's worth, I think that we should pray. So let's do that. God, I just want to ask that you would just speak through your word this morning. Lord, would you be glorified in this? May it all be from you and for you. And God, in the process, if you can change us to be more like you, God, we want to take that on. And God, we pray for that today. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all you do for us. In your name I pray. Amen. So this morning, we're talking about this great thing called prayer. And I'd like to pose a question to you this morning. The question is, do you pray? Do you pray? And maybe a follow-up question to that would be, how do you pray? What does that look like in your life? How do you pray? And so just kind of thinking about those things this morning as you're, you know, pondering that, I want to just kind of, you know, maybe just start off with just, you know, recognizing that prayer is probably one of the greatest forms of communication that God has given us with him. You know, we have his word and his word is his will, and we see everything that he wants for our lives and all that in God's word, in scripture, in the Bible. But to go further with that, you know, there's this thing with prayer. I mean, honestly, it's kind of this mysterious thing. It's this incredibly powerful thing that, you know, many of us just, we overlook it. And even those of us that maybe have been Christians for a long time, maybe we even think at times that we have a good prayer life, we kind of recognize at points along the way that, you know what, I'm not doing so good with that these days. I need to pray more, or I need to pray this way. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff today, and I hope that God can speak to your heart through this, and I think that he will. I had a friend of mine that once said that he knew Michael Jordan, and I, you know, like anybody else that paid any attention to basketball in the last 20 years or, you know, ever, you know, Michael Jordan pretty much is the stuff when it comes to being a basketball player. And especially back in the day, and this is kind of back in the day when he made this statement to me. And I said, so you know Michael Jordan? And he said, yeah, I know him. I said, well, tell me about that. And he said, well, I was in an airport one time. I'm on this escalator. And he said, it was people kind of going everywhere and people taking pictures and just all kinds of craziness going on all of a sudden in the middle of this airport. And he said, I looked up and I saw way up the escalator from me, Michael Jordan. And he said, so I did, you know, what any normal person would do. And I was just like, Jordan! And he was like, and he turned around and he looked at me. I was like, hey. And I looked at him and said, is that all you got? He said, yeah, that's it. I said, bro, you don't know Michael Jordan. He said, I know. He said, but it's fun telling people that I saw him. I said, well, there's a difference between those things. He said, yeah, I know. And you know, that's so true of us in our relationship with God. You know, many of us know God. We know who he is. Gosh, I mean, Scripture teaches us that Satan and the demons know who God is, but they don't have a relationship with him through Christ like we can have. And this morning, if you're here, maybe you're not a Christian, maybe you're just kind of checking this out, I want you to understand something that's very important. This is not about, you know, religious experiences to like add up and calculate, you know, how many religious experiences you can have in your life. And it's not about, any of these things that many people think about the church. This is the bottom line. The bottom line is that God has allowed us the opportunity to have a relationship with him. Through the sacrifice of his son Christ on the cross. And this morning, if you're here and you've never, you know, maybe had this exchange with God to initiate the beginning of a relationship with him, I can't tell you how badly I want to encourage that you pray about that and you think about that this morning. And if God speaks to your heart about that, at the end of the service, you'll have a chance to respond. But this morning, with the subject of prayer, we have one of the most amazing ways to connect with God. We live in a day of age of full of connecting. We got Facebook, we got Twitter, we've each got like 15 email accounts. It seems like every time I turn around, I'm having to like try to figure out a new way to figure out how to make it all work on my computer. And, you know, you restart something and then it's all gone, or they change something on the net. And then, you know, my email doesn't even come to my computer anymore. I had to get a new phone. My email doesn't come to my phone anymore. And people are like, oh, that's easy. Well, you know, maybe easy for you. It's not easy for me. You know, but it's just, you know, all this communication stuff. And you got to check all these different things. And I check all this stuff too. And, you know, I think for us to understand that we have the chance to connect with God all the time. In fact, not only all the time do we have a chance to connect with him, but we are called to that. If you didn't know, we see in Scripture that we are called to pray without ceasing. That means all the time. Some people are like, that scares me, Chris. I don't know about like driving down the road with my eyes closed talking to Jesus. Don't be stupid, okay? You don't have to pray with your eyes closed. Obviously, it's a great thing to do if it's, you know, time to, you know, for you to just reflect and you just kind of need to hone in or whatever. That's what that's for. It's not in the Bible, by the way. I stare at you most of the time. I'm praying from the stage. I've had people say, I saw you look, and I go, how did you know? Honestly, when I pray and I'm praying over our church, or I'm praying for somebody, there's something about me being able to get to lay eyes on what I'm praying about and God just working in my heart about that. And as I'm asking him and I'm looking, I'm saying, God, have your hand on our church. And I'm looking at the church, you know, and I mean, you know, it's the way I work. It's just me personally. You may not like it. I'm sorry. I'm ruining your thought of prayer. But I just ask you this question, you know, I asked you a second ago, you know, do you pray and how do you pray? When you pray, are you praying like, is it because, you know, it's before, you know, lunch or before dinner, and, you know, what are you praying for? Are you praying to connect with God, or are you praying out of some habit that we got taught when we were kids because we live in the Bible Belt? What is your prayer for? Is a meaningful prayer? Does it mean anything in your heart, or are you going through the motions? James talks to some of this stuff, and in fact, let's just go ahead and jump. In the book of James, chapter 5, if you got your Bible with you, you can pull it out. Chapter 5, verse 13 is where we're going to start today. My phone was not working in the first service, driving me crazy. If you didn't know, I'm blind as a bat. It's hard for me to read off this other stuff, and this is so awesome because it's backlit. And it's the Bible. It's still the Bible. It's still God's word. It's cool. It's, I know, technology, weird. But verse 13 says this. It says this, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." All right, right there off the bat. First verse, right out of the chute. Is anyone among you suffering? Anybody suffering? You don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want to. We'll give you a chance at the end of the service to respond. Any of you suffering? Are any of you cheerful? Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. What happens to us when we get in a moment of suffering, when something happens to us, what are we so prone to do right off the bat? We're like sitting there in front of Regis. Something goes down and we're like, I want to phone a friend. And we call somebody, don't we? Isn't that what we do about half the time? I'm guilty of it. You know, it's like, oh gosh, I can't believe this is going down. Oh, I got to fix this problem at church. Oh, who can I call? I'll call him. He'll fix it. And so, you know, and I just call. And James is saying here that if you are suffering, pray. Pray. Bam. He doesn't say, hey, if you're suffering, phone a friend. He doesn't say, hey, if you're suffering, try to fix it yourself. He says, pray. You know, I think many times we do, and I'm this way, we're such control freaks. We want to fix things ourselves because we have this sinful nature that, you know, drives us into wanting to just take charge and basically put ourselves in the place of God is what it comes down to, which is original sin. I know you weren't looking for all that, but that's where it goes. And you know, I think for us to understand that when we do that, oftentimes we're cutting God out of the picture and maybe him doing something that he wants to be glorified in. I explained this recently to some church planters that I'm hanging out with in Seattle, and these guys, many of them are just starting churches or, you know, whatever, and they're asking me questions about 24, and they said, Chris, what kind of things have you experienced? And I said, guys, I've experienced getting to see God answer prayers. They were like, what are you talking about? I was like, and I started describing just simple things. I took them all the way back to us, you know, praying as a church one Sunday morning for a race car trailer. And if any of you were there, you remember this, and it was like one of the most awkward like things to pray for, you know, at least as a pastor to come and go, hey, we got to pray for something today. We have a real need. We really need a race car trailer. Because it sounded like, you know, oh, the pastor wants to, you know, take his Mustang racing on the weekends now. Not the case. We had so much stuff. We were mobile. We were in the schools. And we were, you know, everybody was bringing all this stuff and taking all this stuff home. Some of you were doing that. And we needed something to put it in. And so we needed this. So we prayed as a church. And I just encouraged the church. I said, listen, don't even join us in prayer today unless you're going to believe that God can do this. And we prayed that Sunday morning that God would give us a race car trailer. Or that he would provide for it. And I thought, you know, maybe, you know, God would lay it on somebody's, some people's heart to give some money. And the truth is, we were all broke and, you know, we didn't have the money. And on Monday morning, after the Sunday morning, I had someone call me, someone that doesn't go to our church, someone that didn't know that we had prayed for this. And they called and they said, Chris, hey, it's old such and says, hey, what's going on? You know, he's like, hey, listen, reason I'm calling is I've got something I wondered if maybe your church could use. I know you guys are kind of, you know, having a meet in schools. You probably got some equipment and stuff. And I'm honestly just kind of looking for a little tax write-off to help us out. And I haven't used this thing in about 4 or 5 years. And I just wondered if you could use it. I was like, well, what is it? He said, well, it's this old race car trailer. We quit believing sometimes in our prayer. We quit believing in the power of calling on the sovereign God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he might answer things in according to his will. Which is part of the key, by the way. It's not God as the ATM machine of things that we want. Well, we got a race car trailer. Let's get a race car. You know? No. According to his will. Things that would be for his kingdom. Not to say that race cars couldn't, okay? I think that it's important for us to constantly question our prayers, constantly question our motive in prayer. Are you suffering? Pray. Pray. Are you cheerful? Is anyone cheerful? Check this out. Let him sing praise. Let him sing praise. You know, the band come up here, they do their thing. And one of the things about the band is that they're not here to entertain us, if you didn't know that. They are worshiping. And as a long time ago, back when we first started church, remember a conversation I had with them one day about, you know, they were kind of discouraged, honestly, and we all were at times, and about, you know, people weren't singing, people weren't worshiping. And it was, you know, they'd get up and they'd play their hearts out and sing their hearts out, and people would just stare at them. Any of you do that? I know who you are. We have hidden cameras. But, you know, in the midst of that, you know, we had this conversation, and I said something that I'm sure that they had heard before, me saying it. But I remember saying to them, I said, you know, I said, here's the thing, guys. I said, you guys have just got to get up, and you guys have got to worship God with or without them. They kind of looked at me funny. And I was like, no, I mean, you know, the thing is God has called us to be worshipers. And we got to worship first for anybody to follow that. And they were worshiping, but they were getting discouraged in the process, and just like we all do, needed just a hint of encouragement. And you know, I've even heard them quote that from time to time, you know, since then, but it's so true. It's just that, you know, we come into this place, we have an opportunity to worship God together with the body. We only get that once a week in this type of a scenario. And a lot of times we just fumble the ball. When it comes down to it, we miss opportunity to hang out with God. It may be, oh, well, I don't know this song as much, or, you know, whatever. And I think that what we just miss is sometimes we just want to be entertained. We want to be consumer Christians. And we want what we want. And if it's not what we want, well, I'm not worshiping because, you know, God's not good enough for me to worship with that because I don't know that. We miss opportunities. Maybe you don't know the song. Maybe that's an opportunity. Maybe that's an opportunity for us to just pray, for us just to take that moment and just ask God, as people are singing those words, that He would sing those words over us. Begin to see what happens with your worship when you do things like that. When you set out on a Sunday morning for church, saying to yourself, "I am going to worship You today, God. Today is Your day." You know, there is such a thing as a Sabbath. Are you suffering? Are you cheerful? Pray. Sing praise. Both of those things work there. You say, well, Chris, I don't know about the suffering. I don't know if I want to sing praise while I'm suffering. Well, just a few weeks ago, we looked at James, and he told us that if we're in the middle of suffering, do what? Sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." That in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of the craziest of crazy things going on, that we could sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." That would be what's the first thing off of our tongue. Not some cuss word, not us taking some oath like we talked about last week. You say, Chris, that's just so much easier said than done. Listen, we have to pray for patience. We have to pray that we can get to that point in our lives. It's important for us to remember that. Again, we have a great opportunity to connect with God. One of the guys in our church connects with famous people all the time. I love it. He has an entire room in his house that is dedicated to autographs and signatures and stuff. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it. And it's apparently this glorious thing, and his wife loves it. But this awesome thing, you know, and he's I think he's got like a spiritual gift for like knowing where people are going to be just at the right time. He knows what hotels to go to, where to be at the stadium. I'm serious. I had this other friend, he used to do this. He would follow bands after concerts. He would follow their tour bus, like two hours out of the state, you know, just to like catch them getting off the bus to get a Mountain Dew, you know, just to go, "Hey, what's going on? I liked your guitar solo tonight." I'm sure that guy's like, "You are psycho." But you know, we have opportunities to connect with people all the time, and we would run after the opportunity to connect with somebody that we truly love, whether it's an athlete or a star, whatever it might be, and we miss connecting with God. You say, Chris, I pray. How do you pray? How do you pray? Verse 14 goes on. It says, excuse me, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I think it's important for us to read this today. This is something that I think a lot of churches are good at, and I don't know that we are. I think for a lot of us that grew up in the church, you know, we would hear like the prayer request time. And I vividly remember when Joey and I were teenagers in student ministry, as kids, people giving prayer requests that Joey and I couldn't even hardly not stop laughing at each other sometimes because they get so silly. It might be over somebody's cat died. And then you're laughing so hard about that that by the time somebody said, well, you know, please pray for my son Bobby, he cut his son off, you know, cut his leg off with a chainsaw or something. And you're laughing at that and you're like, you know, we just can't stop because we're stupid kids. But we have these memories of, you know, people, you know, throwing out these prayer requests for sick people. And we just go, well, you know, they're always asking for the same stuff. And it just gets to the point where you kind of go, I don't think anybody's really, really believing in this. We're just doing it to kind of make people feel good. And, oh, we want to, you know, kind of, you know, pet you or whatever and make you feel better about your friend that's sick or your mom or whatever it might be. And we're missing something that's very powerful. Something that's very powerful when it comes to prayer. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him. I have a close friend that has shared with our church before that had a huge, huge tumor in her brain. Crazy, crazy stuff. I'll spare you the whole story, but at the end of the day, she called the elders of the church to come together and pray over her. She had done tests all over Nashville like crazy. They had MRIs and all kinds of tests showing this thing, and then she flies to Texas to see a specialist, and they start doing their tests, and they keep doing tests and keep doing tests, and they aren't coming up with anything, and finally they just go to her and say, well, we don't know what they saw in Nashville, but it's not here now. Because I guarantee you, if God wants to give us a race car trailer, he can take a tumor out of somebody's head. And I don't think that we think that anymore. We don't call on God for stuff like that a lot of times. And what we do is we miss opportunities for God to be glorified. And that's what I, you know, even in telling, you know, talking with these other pastors that are planting churches and telling the race car trailer story, they just kind of looked at me with the deer in the headlight look like, really? That really happened? And I go, yeah. And I said, and you know what? I said, I'm pretty sure that God never allowed us to have the money to go out and buy it because there would have been no glory in the fact that we had gone and picked up this race car trailer on our own. He was glorified in a crazy thing because we prayed. The elders of the church here are, you know, as we see, and you can take note of this if you want to look it up, but in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and verses 28, we see a description of elders, and I'm just going to tell you what it is. We don't have it for the screen, but the description of the elders is basically, it says in that passage of Scripture that they are the same as the bishops, the overseers of the church, the pastors, if you will. You say, Chris, we have elders in our church. We absolutely do have elders in our church. They are the pastors of our church. They are the overseers. They are scriptural elders, bishops, same thing. You say, Chris, why is it so important that they might go and ask for an elder to pray over them? Can I not pray for somebody? That's not what it's saying, because we'll see James talking about that in just a minute. The reason that it's a good thing to know that they are always there is because elders, pastors, should be men above reproach. Men that are righteous men seeking repentance constantly for their sinful nature and seeking to be more and more like God, that they would be people following God. In other words, that they would be righteous men. And we're going to talk about the righteous men thing in a minute, so I'm not going to talk about that anymore, but we'll get that, and you'll understand more about that in just a minute as the Scripture unfolds. So that we would go to them and pray, ask them to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, here's where, you know, some people get like all crazy with this. You go, oh, here we go. He's pulling out the cast-rolled GTX 10W30. Here's the thing. What James is talking about in this passage of Scripture, I have not done some huge, extravagant study of anointing oil and other passages of Scripture, but in this passage of Scripture, James is referring to a medicinal substance. James is saying, use medicine. Ask God to bless it. He's giving a subscription or a prescription for prayer and medicine if you are sick. So if you ever do run into anybody that says, well, I'm a Christian and I, you know, Jesus lives in my heart, so I don't need to take medicine, point them to this and say, you're crazy. Take it, okay? God doesn't say don't take medicine. And so James is prescribing that very thing, prayer and medicine. So, it goes on in verse 15. And the prayer of faith, I love it, will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And the prayer of faith, remember that second question I was asking you? I asked you if you prayed, but then I asked you something else. How do you pray? How do you pray? Do you pray with faith? Or are you going through the motions? Are you not really thinking about it? Or are you praying and going, well, I kind of believe God could do this, but he probably won't. It's important for us to pray for what is according to God's will. In other words, kind of throwing ourselves out there saying, God, I'm asking for this, but if it's not your will, it's fine. But if it is in your will, then God, I pray that you would do it. I pose this question to you today. How much of the stuff that you're praying for is prayed in that sense? God, if it be your will, if it be your will, would this happen? Times are tough. A lot of us find ourselves praying prayers like, God, let me keep my house. Let me keep my car. God, I'd really like to have that. Can I have that? If it'd be okay with you, God, I'd like to have that. God sometimes doesn't answer those prayers because we don't need those things. We've bitten off more than we can chew. And sometimes he's going to humble us for it. Sometimes it's because we quit relying on him and we started relying on ourselves at some point along the way. God wants us to rely on him. He wants us to turn to him. Our point in praying is to show God our faith verbally, to show him our heart verbally, that it would be real, that it wouldn't be fake, and that somewhere underneath one of the layers of something that we would be questioning whether or not God could do it or not. Because if it's in his will, he can do it. Truth is he can do anything. But if it's in his will, he's going to do it. And that's where we tap into like some of the most amazing things that we could ever see while we live on this planet. Much bigger than race car trailers. That we could see God do things like heal somebody that's sick. That we could see God save somebody who doesn't know him. Verse 15 goes on and it says, and the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Well, I got to tell you something. The Lord will raise him up part is talking about actually physically raising him from his sickness from his bed. That's literal translation of that. So when you go back to will save the one who is sick, that can be interpreted his life, save his life. But honestly, it can also be interpreted that he would save him that he would save his soul. Did you know that your prayer, of faith for a friend that does not know Jesus Christ is heard, and that God can use it to save someone? I think we forget about this. We've got friends, we've got family, we're trying to get them to come to church. Maybe you've even gotten them to come a time or two or whatever. But somewhere along the way, you know, we forget to keep praying that God will do something in their heart. We can't do anything in their heart. Only he can. Only he can save. It goes on and says, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. We see this in other passages of Scripture. We see the four men that take the paralytic to Jesus. They cut a hole in the roof and they drop him down right in front of Jesus because these four men believed with all of their heart that Jesus could heal this man. Well, Jesus healed the guy, all right. He healed the guy and he saved the guy. We see in that passage of Scripture, you can go check it out for yourself, that because of their faith, he was saved and forgiven of his sins. And I think sometimes we get to this point where we don't have that kind of faith with people anymore because we've been burned. You know, this bridge over here has been burned and this person over here, you know, and there's certain people that we just like, oh, you know, they don't even belong in church. They would never like it. They, you know, God could never speak to them. They won't ever listen to God. We're starting to put limitations on God left and right. The prayer of faith is a powerful thing. In verse 16, it says this, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, I want to talk about that first because we talked about that earlier in this passage. The righteous man. Now, here's the deal. A righteous person is someone who has confessed sin, has repented of sin and been forgiven. So this is an ongoing thing for us to do. We've been made righteous in Christ, but part of the process that we will spend the rest of our life doing is confessing our sin. Just, God, help me overcome this. You know that this is going on. Here it is. I'm giving it to you. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry that I broke your heart again. Very simple. Confessing sin, repenting of the sin, God forgives us of the sin. We're forgiven through the blood of Christ on the cross. Even, you know, we see all through Scripture, we're forgiven for sin that happened even before we commit them, yes. But Paul says it's not a reason for us to go on and commit sin. And in this passage of Scripture, he's giving us this understanding that a righteous man is a man that is heard in his prayers. What's that mean, Chris? It means this. It means that if we continually sin and we keep praying to God, but we're not confessing, we're not repenting, our heart is not repentant, we have no desire to turn from that sin, guess what? God is not hearing your sin. He's not hearing your prayers. Our prayers fall on deaf ears as long as we have our back turned to God and toward sin. You say, well, Chris, well, I'm saved. I know. James is helping us to understand that the heart of a righteous man is a man that is repentant, wants to turn away from sin, doesn't have it conquered. I'm not saying that. You're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But we're striving to turn from sin. And when we're in that mode, when we're striving to turn from sin and turn toward God, God is hearing our prayers. It is the prayer of a righteous man. A righteous person has great power as it is working. So that gets to be about our heart. That comes to the point of, where's my heart? Is my heart pure? I got to tell you, one of the things that I say, it feels like a million times a day, is I quote this passage of Scripture from Psalms And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And I need that. I need God to continually create in me a clean heart. I need him to continually create in me a steadfast spirit to renew it in me. And in those two things alone, God is preparing me for more of doing his work and not my own. We can't treat it like some kind of magical equation. The important thing is that this is about our heart. This is where our heart is with our relationship with God. So the righteous man can pray, and there is power in his prayer. Because a righteous man's not going to pray for things that are not of God's will, right? Let's go back to the first part of that verse. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I know you love that part, right? Now, here's the part of the service where I'm going to ask everybody to stand up one by one, and I want you to confess your sin, okay? Are y'all ready to go? This is the reason that community is so important for us. We think, oh, well, I go to church and I got it made. We do this, or I even know people say, well, we have church at home. I'm going, okay, with your family. You have church with your family. You're confessing your sin to your family. Really? That's why small groups are so important. Home teams. That we would confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. Because this amazing thing happens when we confess our sin to one another. One person might be willing to do it at first, but then once one person has done it, then there's this freedom in the room that I can now share what I'm really struggling with and not be judged for it because they're showing that they're not perfect either. I said last weekend that I'd be talking about something today that's one of the biggest keys for us to overcome sin that so many of us are missing. This is it. This is it. This is the deal. That we got to confess our sin. We can't just keep bottling this stuff up. It's destroying us. And Satan loves it. He loves destroying our lives. We've got to confess our sin to one another. You know what this also means? This means this. This means that our small groups, our home teams cannot be places of gossip. They cannot be places of gossip. Honestly, gossip, period, is a sin. I've heard people telling stories about gossip this week. It just makes me mad. It just makes me mad. It makes me mad because I see Satan use that stuff to hurt the church. It has no good point other than that. And you should think about that seriously while you're hanging out with your friends. About how you talk and the way you talk about people that aren't there right that minute. For us to confess sin to one another, we have to have trust. We've got to have that trust with one another so that we can overcome these sins. This is a piece of the puzzle for us to get past sin. You say, Chris, why is it so important? Because we need accountability. We need people in our lives that will constantly ask. And that's where, it's good for you to call on a pastor or elder or whatever and go, hey, I need you to pray for me about this sin. That's fine. That's good. But you need to understand something. You need somebody in your life that loves Jesus and will point you to Jesus, that will be willing to see you from a weekly standpoint and ask you, hey, how's that going? How's that sin going? Are you still struggling with that? What have you done this week? How have you overcome that this week? What worked this week? What didn't work this week? How can I pray for you about that? Because see, this is a mutual thing, because once we start confessing, the other person's going to start confessing, and then what? They pray for one another. It's not one way. It's not a one-way street. It's not like the confession booth, where you go and you tell your thing. No. This is Scripture. This tells us to confess to one another so we can pray for one another. That we can call on God to ask him to intervene for our friend and that they can do the same for us so that we can help us to overcome the sin. and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's not talking about sickness, that's talking about sin. We need God to heal us of our sin. And for those of you that are here today and you're just like checking out the church thing and trying to figure out Jesus, let me tell you something. You need Jesus to help you overcome your stuff. You're not going to like get your act together and then go to Jesus. It doesn't work. I've seen it 1 million times. We need Jesus to get our act together. Jesus wants you just like you are with all of your sin, and he wants to overcome it. Because we will never conquer it on our own. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross that can. Righteous person has a powerful prayer. You say, well, Chris, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. I can't be a righteous person. Wrong. Check it out. Verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he was a man just like us. He was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. This is in 1 Kings, by the way, if you want to check it out sometime. Verse 18, then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And James is giving us this particular scenario so that we can be assured that just an average man that loves God, that is willing to turn from sin and pursue righteousness, that our prayer will be heard, and it can be powerful enough to stop the rain if that's what God wants to do, if God has laid it on your heart like he did Elijah, I guess. God can do anything. And our prayer is more powerful than we want to give it credit for many times. And this morning I asked the question, are you praying? And if so, how are you praying? How are you praying? Are you praying with faith? Are you seeking God in your life to allow him to help you continually overcome the stuff of your life? It's a process. It's going to be the process for the rest of our lives that we seek after him. Elijah was a righteous man. And he believed in what he prayed. And he didn't stop praying. And this morning, we can learn so much from just that right there. If we put all the rest away and we just take that one thing alone right there, and we say, what do we got to do? We got to pursue God with a repentant heart. We've got to have faith that's strong enough to move mountains. And we can't stop praying. It's one of the best connections that we've got with our Savior. To be able to call on the Lord and ask him to intervene in our lives and other people's lives. I mean, just think about that. Think about just even for our church. I mean, we've seen this in our church. We're here right now because of it. Because so many faithful people prayed that God would continually do his thing, whatever that would end up looking like. And we could have never painted the picture to look exactly like this. But for you in your own life, how are you praying? Who are you praying for? Maybe you're here today and maybe you don't even know Christ. You've never become a Christian. You've always written off church as being stupid and, you know, it couldn't possibly be real, couldn't possibly mean anything. Listen, I'm an idiot, and God being real and could possibly use me to do anything is proof that he's real, beyond the fact that there are so many more stories much better than race car trailers, let me tell you, of where he has intervened and he has done his thing when faithful people have called on his name and asked him to do something that would glorify him and his kingdom. I guarantee you, you get to hear many of those stories, you'll know he's real. And I can't encourage you more than just saying this: there's nothing better in life than knowing Jesus Christ. It's not a Cinderella story. It doesn't make every, you know, all your problems go away. I'm not going to sell you on some lie. Satan is going to attack you. He's going to try to have his way with you. But God is more powerful than he is. And if you know Christ is your Savior, then that power is within you to be able to overcome sin. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're hanging with your home team this morning. Maybe you're sitting together. I mentioned that last week. You know, maybe this week you need to, when you get together as your home team, maybe you need to talk about confessing sin to one another. Not just having Bible study, not just, you know, having a little food here or there, but getting real with one another and spending some real time praying for one another. Maybe you need to split out into to men and women in your home team to do that, to make that truly effective. And that's fine. Whatever. Whatever works. Maybe you need to get one-on-one. This morning, God is calling us through his word to seek him in prayer. And that in of itself is one of the most amazing things, that God would care to even hear from us. And this morning, as part of us talking about this, we're going to offer an opportunity for you to come for prayer if you need to be prayed for today. We did this in the first service. We had an awesome time of just getting to pray with some people this morning. And some of the pastors and other godly men in our church are going to be hanging in the back just ready to pray with people. Just believing in our hearts that when there's a need, that we can pray for it and ask God to do something about it. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're suffering. Maybe you're happy and you want to praise God. I don't know. Whatever it is, you can pray. And James is saying that's step number one, pray. Suffering, pray. Trouble, pray. Sick, pray. Happy, cheerful, give praise, a form of prayer. The band's going to come up and we're going to give praise. Maybe you're in the middle of the suffering and the trouble and you're like, I don't really feel like giving praise. Remember what James said earlier in this chapter. Blessed be the name of the Lord in the middle of those circumstances. That we could say that God could be glorified in our lives in the middle of the junk, that we could just possibly just overcome that with God himself and just be able to go, God, you're it. Blessed be your name, even right now, even in the middle of the junk. If you'd like to be prayed for this morning, we're going to be chilling in the back. We'd love to pray with you. If you'd like to come and talk about what it means to know Christ as your Savior, hanging in the back, we'd love to get to talk to you. Confess your sins to one another. Pray fervently. Like Elijah, don't stop. Don't stop pursuing God. Don't stop pursuing him overcoming sin in your life so that you can be righteous, that your prayer can be heard. God wants to hear from us. Let's pray. God, I pray this morning that if there's someone here, God, that they do need to be prayed for, God, they wouldn't be afraid just to slide into the back and be able to do that. God, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you, God, they've never come into a relationship with you. God, I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't be afraid to come and talk to somebody. God, to just seek prayer. God, I pray that our lives would be in prayer mode all of the time. God, I pray, Lord, that we would do it without ceasing. God, forgive us for when we haven't done that. God, forgive me for not doing it even as late as yesterday. God, for being consumed with things of this world. God, I just pray that you would just guide us in our hearts, God, that we would seek you with all that we have, God, that we would seek being righteous. God, I pray, Lord, that you would hear our prayers and that they would be prayed in according to your will. God, we believe you can do great things. We know you can do great things. God, I pray, Lord, that we would pray in that way. We love you, Lord.